Brave New World was a novel written by Aldous Huxley in 1932. In it, he imagined one of the great dystopian nightmares where humankind invented a paradise of sorts by genetically engineering the inhabitants to be happy with their lot in life and fit into a strict caste system that they created. The story is set in New London, where everyone is happy all of the time. And if an existential wobble does come along, it can easily be sorted by taking the pill Soma, which will let you to help you to chill out immediately afterwards. Well, a new TV series based on the Huxley novel, starring Jessica Brown Findlay and Alden Ehrenreich, among others, has just been created. Dara Downes has been watching it for us, and he's in with both his literary hat and his TV hat on. Two hats on you this evening, Dara. I suppose if you said dystopian novel to me, I'd say, well, yeah, George Orwell, 1984, that must have been one of the first, written in 1949. Aldous Huxley, 17 years earlier, was miles ahead of the posse with Brave New World.
He was, and he gives us a world in which it's taking this dystopian idea of totalitarianism. It's a different angle on that to the one Orwell will take. It's a much softer and more insidious kind of authoritarianism and totalitarianism. It's a state which values its members' comfort above all else. And it all sounds so benign. I mean, who would want to upset anyone? Who would want to take anyone out of their comfort zone? But the contempt that sponsors this way of life is the caste system, and it's hiding all those ills. But it's the contempt for the individual and the notion that an individual can grow, has potential to grow through suffering. So Huxley, he's in a target-rich environment in terms of the ideas that are around him at the time he's writing this.
Yeah, but it's hard to pin down who his targets are, maybe because it was a target-rich environment in the 1930s. It's not a straightforward critique of communism.
No.
It's not a straightforward critique of capitalism. No. You know, who is he getting at? Everybody?
I think primarily H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw. I mean, Shaw rarely saw a totalitarian idea he didn't fall head over heels in love with. It's anti-utopianism. It's this idea that you can create a total and totalizing system. As some have done, whether Huxley he's coming from the left or from the right, I think it's missing the point. Some of what he's doing is actually a conservative critique of what we would now call liberal culture. Some of it is a liberal critique of things. He's asking about what is the price we pay for utilitarianism, this idea that if we have everything run on rationalistic grounds. I think the fascinating thing is that a chap by the name of Jonathan Swift, he was already doing this 200 years earlier with the Houyhnhnms, the horse people, who have this rational, calm society where there's no extreme emotions. Death is just seen as of no more moment than the blowing of the leaves in the tree.
So where we don't have Swift's division of society into the castes that you mentioned there, in the case of Huxley, we have alpha, beta, gamma, delta and epsilon. I guess you want to be either an alpha or a beta in this society, don't you?
No, because if you're an epsilon, you have been conditioned from the moment of your very conception to want nothing other than to be an epsilon. this is a society in which neonates in the cradle have a thing called hypnopedia, where these hypnopedic proverbs are repeated over and over again. It is so nice to be an epsilon. I do like being an epsilon. So that it doesn't occur to anyone that they would want to do anything else, which is rather convenient for the class system that Huxley is depicting.
So just to flesh out a little bit how you end up in a caste, in one of the castes, how you end up in that particular situation and the kind of genetic playing around that's going on in the Brave New World that Aldous Huxley portrays for us?
Well, it's literally a fleshing out. It's pure eugenics of the kind supported both by many on the far right and on the far left, and many people near the middle who should really have known better. It's you are conceived and it's all, you're a designer baby. You're hatched. You don't have a mother. I mean, it's actually a very comic novel. This is a society in which the word mother makes people blush and father makes people blush. These are pornographic obscenities because that's what mammals do. They give birth, and we're doing it all on pure scientific, rational principles. Yeah. And you're hatched.
Yeah, there's no family. There's no monogamy.
Don't even say the word, Sean.
There's
I'm
no privacy either. No privacy of any
kind. Privacy is condemned as solipsism. A tendency to privacy, a tendency to solitude, that's destabilising to the social body.
Right. Okay. So we get it. We get a sense of how not being happy in this society might cause you a lot of trouble. You have to be happy with your lot.
You have to be happy.
And that's where we're at. So to the television series then. I suppose I want to play a clip from the television series, but to do so, we need to understand what the Savage Lands are.
Mm. Well, in Huxley's novel, it's a reservation in New Mexico, and in this TV show, it's a theme park, and it's basically what's seen as kind of hick culture in America. We're in London for the kind of the state controlled side of things, New London as it's called in the show, and then we go over to North America then for the next bit. So that's a place that is, it's outside the pale of civilization. These are unreconstructed human beings. They have babies. They have families. They have emotions. You know. So it's that kind of an alternative world. And a so-called savage called John is brought back, is brought into London. Yeah. And it's the contrast between those two things.
I suppose the taming of the savage, in inverted commas, into this controlled society. But the point of the clip that we're listening to, it's the other way around. We have Bernard Marx, who is played by Harry Lloyd. He's one of the alphas in the group. Mm. And then Lenina Crown, played by Jessica Brown Finley, is a beta.
Beta plus, I think.
A beta plus. Yes, she corrects him actually at one point, doesn't she, in episode one, saying, I'm a beta plus,
But Bernard Marx is rumoured to have had blood surrogate mixed, or alcohol mixed in his blood surrogate when he was germinating.
Right.
So he's not quite there.
Yeah, he's not totally clean. There's a little bit of
impurity
in there. Well, here they are heading off for a break to the Savage Lands, as they're called. And there's a kind of they're being guided as to what's in front of them and what they're going to experience while they're there.
Next up, the House of Monogamy. Now, the reasons behind the savages' most primitive practice remain a mystery, but we do know that monogamy is an important tradition which allows the savages to combine the core values of their culture. Ownership, competition, jealousy, and strife. And here we are. We do hope you enjoy the presentation. For those of you continuing on to the House of Consequence, we'd like to remind you to please keep your hands...
What's the House of Consequence?
It's called a prison. Yeah, they cut off part of their social body and keep it there.
Oh, fun fact! Outside of captivity, savages are able to double or even triple their body mass with the consumption of food.
The House of Consequence is how they describe prison. That's Alpha, or Bernard Marx, played by Harry Lloyd, and Lenina Crow, played by Jessica Brown Finney, in the television version, Sky TV version of Brave New World, that we're talking about with Dara this evening. Dara Downs in studio with me this evening. What about the transfer then from novel to screen? It's not is it a straightforward transfer? How does it work, Dara?
It's reasonably straightforward. It's padded out not very, very well. Many of the things are there. They try to update it through kind of digital technology is part of the system, a thing called Indrets. It's a network.
Yeah, you can't go off the network.
These are like contact lenses and other people can see what you're seeing. It's like the Google Glasses almost, you know. So it's reasonably faithful to the novel, and yet it's an utterly different experience watching this to reading the novel. Mm. I mean, there are several problems with the show, but the chief problem is it's pretty rubbish, to be honest.
Why is it so rubbish?
It's utterly soulless. There's no imaginative spark within it whatsoever, and it feels actually as dystopian as the society it's trying to depict. What really makes it not work and painful to watch is it's so perfect. It's done to a very high level of technical proficiency, and everything's been storyboarded very carefully and so on. But there's no great writing in this at all, and it's an awful shame. I mean, I wish HBO had taken this and taken some risks and done something a little bit less antiseptic.
There's a lot of sex in the first episode, a lot of orgiastic sex, in fact. Several scenes of orgies. Is that there in the Huxley book, or is this amplified in the television series?
Yeah, it's made more metrosexual here. It's airbrushed sex, and it's not remotely shocking in this day and age. It's trying to show sexual liberation of people who are profoundly unliberated. It's okay, but it's basically, this is a series that's made up of set pieces, meticulously put together set pieces. I mean, there have been adaptations before, 1980 and 1998, and I thought the 1998 one, it just had a bit more imaginative spark. I mean, if this is a novel attacking a lack of imaginative individualism, and to see a 9-episode production that just... It's regulation amount of airbrush sex, regulation amount of romantic comedy, regulation amount of action pieces. It's a bit of a disappointment.
It sounds as if you want us to go back and read the book rather than watch the series, but there you go.
Yes.
Does it speak to today in any particular way?
It's funny, just the evening before I started watching this, I caught the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma, about our own dystopian time, you know, social media and what it's doing to people's consciousness and the algorithmic self that it's creating. I think it does. I'm talking about Huxley's novel here more than the television TV show. I think it does, and I think it always comes back, not actually here to left versus right, but to the individual. And the dignity of the individual.
And you're sending us back to Huxley then?
Sending you back to Huxley.
Back to Huxley, says Dara Downes. But if you want to watch the TV version, or maybe do both at the same time, Brave New World is available on Sky Atlantic and online on Virgin TV.